Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everybody, check it out. It's Core. Thanks for being here. It's Core for Wednesday, October 21st, 2020. I'm Scott Johnson with Bo Schwartz and John Jagger. This is our video game show. We talk about the world of gaming, the industry, our behind-the-scenes thoughts on how stuff works, and so much more. So stick around for a good show we're about to have, and we're glad to have you here watching live or at home. It doesn't matter. We take you either way. All right. So Bo had an idea in our Discord, or our Discord, our Slack, when we were kind of talking pre-show, I don't know, a few hours ago, about what we were going to do tonight. And when I first saw it, I actually was like, oh, I don't want to go near that with a 10-foot pole, because anytime politics comes up, I just sort of go, ugh, I don't want to have it on the show. However, I got to thinking about it, and after you'd replied and like shared more of your thoughts, it's actually kind of an interesting thing. And it's an interesting discussion to have about gaming being a gateway to the next generation's methods of communicating with the people. By that, I mean, we are now going to, regardless of your political affiliation and regardless of what region or state or country you live in, you're going to participate in whatever processes you have to elect and or instate people who are going to be more and more savvy this direction, right? Because that's who we are. It's a little bit like, I don't know, if you voted for somebody in the 70s, they were probably more savvy on the space program than people from the 50s before we had any kind of meaningful space program. It's a kind of like that. People that understand the internet and memes and are fluent in the kinds of communication that happens on the internet, and they don't get stumbled up by how it works or what it is or, you know, any of that, which sometimes can affect policy and other things. So the reason that this came up is because Bo put a link in there regarding AOC playing Among Us with record viewership on Twitch. What was it? 400 and what thousand?
By the way, sorry to interrupt you right there, but does everyone know who AOC is?
Oh, sorry. I never say her name right.
I bet you they do. I bet
most people
who
do.
Didn't, I would love to, if you wrote in and just like, raise your hand or something. But
people,
go ahead,
there sorry. Are people listening who are either going, yeah, she's great, or oh my gosh, I hate her guts. That's what's happening right now.
Yeah, and but the point is, we know a person by their initial. Like, how many people do you like can say like, "Oh, AOC," and everyone knows who that is? So, sure. I just that's remarkable. That's all. I'm just pointing it out.
Well, I'm trying to think of other people that have the three name. I mean, LBJ did.
Yeah.
Who else? FDR.
Okay. Good. Yeah.
BLT.
I didn't think you were going to think of one. You thought of two. That's.
Those are two prominent political names. I'm trying to think there's another one.
Yeah. But like how many people, like, I think the thing I'm trying to point out is like, she's a household name. You know what I mean?
Yeah. For good.
I just think it's remarkable because she's a senator. She's a young one.
Yeah.
And it's not nothing. It still takes work. Well, part of it is because you know that there's a politician who calls herself AOC.
Part of the problem is that her name is complicated and hard to say. And so I think it's just also easier for people to say AOC. I could be wrong.
So it's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Yeah.
I believe I said correctly.
I believe you did.
I think.
You know, Alexandria is not too hard and Cortez isn't hard. Octavia is not. Is it Octavia?
Well, we've certainly found, we've identified where people get stumbled up, apparently. We found the troublesome part of the name, apparently.
Yeah, Oblivion is not hard to remember. Anyway, no, I just want to remark that
we know her by AOC, and that's just...
It's a fair point. I actually agree with you. So for good or for ill, a lot of people know who she is. And by when I say that, I just mean some people really like her and some people really dislike her. We are not getting into that today, except there is a part of this I want to showcase, which is for her to get 400, almost 500,000 concurrent viewers, which is record breaking. No one's done this before. Not your ninjas, not your Dr. Disrespects. None of those people have achieved those numbers in one stream before. Also, man, these Among Us guys must be just having the time of their life because that's all anybody's playing is that freaking thing.
Although now that politicians are getting into it, the sun is setting Among Us.
Yeah.
It's happened.
I feel
right now
too.
Getting AOC to play.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
But once some crusty old white dudes start playing.
You want to watch Ted Cruz play Among Us?
No.
They're gone.
Nope. I don't want to watch Ted Cruz do anything because here's the thing. Ted Cruz, I do not think, as an example, is somebody who's very fluent in the ways of the internet. I don't think Joe Biden is. I don't think there are a ton of people on both sides of the aisle here in the States that have any fluency in the way that she seems to have. And I think that's just the beginning. You're going to see people on all sides of the spectrum, regardless of your affiliation, start to glom onto these outlets as a way to communicate with their potential constituency, or at the very least to communicate with people, whatever message they want to communicate. Because
they've grown up with it. Imagine if I'm a politician. It's not impossible for me to make a bid for a seat somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And you think I'm going to be like writing things? I'm going to be streaming. Hey, dudes, I'm running for office. Woo! Like everyone's going to be like that. Like she's just the advance. What do they call that? The harbinger or the advance, military action, or she's just the warning shot across the bow.
Right.
The rest of them are coming.
Yeah, they are coming. And so that's the one thing I wanted to bring up was, on the one hand, if somebody like that, again, with that kind of fluency and understanding of the platform, gets to that platform and knows it well enough that they don't seem like awkward ding dongs on there. Like I'll get to that because this is part of my point. If it's someone you like, I promise you that someone you don't like is getting close to that same notoriety. And I'm not talking about there are already plenty of left-leaning people and right-leaning people and everybody in between doing different things on platforms like Twitch and YouTube and everything else. I mean, that's obvious. I'm not saying there aren't. But in mainstream political circles, it's a little bit more rare to see this. They don't run their own channels. They don't have massive followings beyond the norm when it comes to celebrity style Instagram posts and Twitter accounts and things like that. This is a significant deal because A, she's a gamer anyway, and B, she understands the platform and again is so fluent in all of its nuances that this is just a good fit for her. There will come somebody sometime soon who has a populist has a popular viewpoint that people follow, who falls on the opposite side of the spectrum she does, who also understands this stuff, who also is fluent in it, and will also get gigantic record-breaking numbers. So I guess what I'm saying is don't get either too excited or too disappointed in who's doing it and when, because they're all going to eventually. Bo's right. It's kind of like first shot over the bow. It's like a big deal for the moment.
Yeah. Ted Cruz is next, guys. That's my call. It's going to be Ted Cruz.
It doesn't have to necessarily boil down, although the tendency in this country is the opposite, to be a left versus right debate on this. Like, that's kind of irrelevant to the topic at hand. It's more just that this is how people are now communicating to voters. Right. You know, it's the same method of, you know, when radio was brand new, you know, you have a huge edge if you adopt radio for your campaign versus somebody who's just like, no, print, just print. Mm-hmm. I know we're going like well beyond my time
Speeches. Like there was a time when you just did speeches and you circulated and that was enough. Yeah. Meanwhile, the guy on radio can cut out half of his circuit, hit more places with the radio. So I think your point's really good.
Yeah, no, it's a totally valid point. And not only that, it scales forward. So when the change from print to radio came, it was a real transition for a lot of people, and they couldn't quite hack it. And so you'd see younger politicians who understood that world did better when that happened, and those who didn't. And the same thing happened with television. That comes around, and people like Nixon look awkward and uncomfortable the whole time, and people like Kennedy look like they were made for the camera, and they speak to the camera. The camera loves them. They love the camera. Like there's like this moment like that. Reagan, somebody who very much looked great on film, sounded great on film, knew film, understood the language of the time. And you could argue that we are now exiting, however slowly or however transitionally, we are exiting from an era where cable news is the norm. That's how you talk to your wads of people. And that's been an innovation in the late 80s that is now at its whatever point it's at. But that's what this is. We're still in that little chunk of time. In the meantime, the internet came and grew and grew and grew. And I think we're just now finally getting to a place where legitimately, and I think she proved that the other night. I mean, that's not millions of people watching at one time, but that's still a significant jump forward, that we're going to get to a place where it's a lot like that transition. People that transitioned well to cable television will likely not transition well to internet stuff because, again, they don't have the fluency. But people who do understand this stuff and have that word, again, I keep saying fluency, but I like it here, they're going to just ease right in. And it's going to fit them in the same way the last generation cable television did and the generation before that TV in general did and before that radio and before that print, before that stump speeches. Like that's just where that this is another one of those. The trick will be, the difference will be, we as denizens of the internet and more specifically gamer culture folks, I think we tend to be very protective of what we have or what we perceive we have
with
all of this. And so the minute people come in and start putting all their mainstream mugs on everyone's coasters, it starts to feel like, that starts to feel bad to us because now it's no longer this unique place where the olds can't come. And even though a lot of us are aging through it, grew up with it, you know, the first time I ever used the internet, I was 20, 21, 22 or whatever, and have been here every second of its maturation. So you're going to have some of that like mainstreaming of this medium happen. And when that happens, people get rebellious. Like we're not gonna love it. And I guarantee there were people who did not love that she had 500,000 people watching concurrently, and so many millions over the course of the stream. I know there are people that just see that as that's opportunistic. They're taking advantage of a platform they don't belong on. This is for us. We're gamers. Get out of here. Whatever. You know, forgetting that Twitch is owned by a mega $1 trillion freaking company like Amazon and. Like, there's a lot of stuff in this, right?
Yeah, but also everyone's like late with those comments too now, because I'm going to say like this pandemic has made a shift in what we, because you said denizens of the internet. And I know what that means. We all know what that means. We're listening to it. Yeah, I'm a denizen. I use the internet a lot. Everyone's a denizen of the internet now. There's no denizen of the internet. It happened right before our eyes, just like a few months ago. It's gone. Like everyone's broadcasting, everyone's Zooming. Literally everyone I talk to is doing video chats. My mom's starting to watch Twitch now. Like they all have their phones. They're getting free chats. Their behaviors are being modified. We're being trained. I know it's a bit of an echo chamber, and maybe I'm being a little myopic, but I would say the majority of people, let's say just in North America to keep it simple, are on the internet, and the people we talk to who aren't on the internet are now a shrinking minority every day. Yeah. And what that means is if you're hang your identity on being cool because you use computers or you use gaming or you have this culture, that's gone. We're at the point now where this is all mainstream and everyone's doing it. And these other people we talk about don't exist. They exist less and less every day to a point that they'll be zero.
Yeah.
And And so our shift in our attitudes is also going to take place. It is also starting right now.
I agree. And it's what you're describing is the accelerant that is the pandemic. The pandemic had a way of, this was already the trend for sure. The pandemic had a way of saying, well, now this is the only way you're going to work remotely. This is the only way you're going to communicate remotely or do any of these things. This is the new way. And so I think you're right. I think millions upon millions of people got onto the train late, but that train was going and they had to get on. And now we're accelerated in that direction for sure.
Yeah, like my day today, the security guards playing whatever on their social media. The guy outside I walked by on his phone. Like, I don't see anyone not on a phone. And the phone has the internet. And that's what they're doing, internet stuff. Mm-hmm. They're denizens. And so right now, like, the only people that are late, like, abysmally late to the party are politicians. Mm-hmm. And, like, by keeping saying, like, keep politics out of my games and stuff like that, it's like, that's over. You can say that all you want. It's done. Yeah. It's done. Everything is part of your games and part of the computer world now. We are not a part of some niche culture. We might be a niche culture within the larger culture. Like you said, the mainstream is going to take hold of it. Yeah. So we're all going to go over here and be like hipsters. You're going to have computer and internet hipsterdoms, I think, emerge if they haven't already. But, you know, I just thought we're talking about, like, is it a big news week or slow news week? To me, this is the biggest headline of 2020. A politician is encouraging voters by chilling out and playing games like normal people. And as Scott said, well, AOC's been, she's familiar with games. She's probably been doing this or understand this culture already enough to be fine with it. And, like, all those old guys are going to die out, right? And a bunch of new guys are going to come in, and they were all raised with the computers in their hands since birth.
Yeah,
and the world is heading in that direction, and they will be on Twitch, and they'll be all over your games. And the good news is that politics and gamer are actually been closely related throughout all of time. And I don't think we have enough time to get into that here, and I would want to research it before I give that to you. But even the creation of chess is interconnected with politics. I get wanting to keep it away because you want some personal private space and you dislike games. Yeah. I want politics out of my life. Great. Right. But politics out of games is like saying the sky should be red because I prefer it that way. It's like, you got a blue sky, buddy, like, deal with it. Like, and what I want to say just as this is, like, this is the moment where a big flag is raised, a demarcation point from the world as we knew it to the world as we know it today, where now the seal is broken off.
Yeah.
Politicians will be in your Twitch streams if they aren't already. And this is what they should be doing. It's not, I'm not even like, this is a change. I've been thinking about my own country. I'm like, why aren't these guys on Twitch all the time? Like, reassuring people and showing them the work that they're doing. We have the technology. They're scared the old way. They hide things. They don't tell us stuff. And having a camera on 24/7. Oh, the political things that'll happen. Well, the rest of the world's moving on without them.
Yeah.
And if they don't participate, we'll make our own governments in the digital world. And they'll have the Google and Apple, they all have the money. So we have money to back up this idea that we're becoming virtual citizens, that governments will just be like eventually get deprecated or bought out by these companies. Like, at the end of the day, countries are also deeply connected to money systems. And the people with all the money who can fund the militias that back the laws are the ones that win out in history. So anyways, this is a big deal. Yeah. I think it's a very big deal. And
I'm
excited and also scared.
You mentioned, it's dominating our news, and it is. You know, in theory, the way, just for some how the show is made, in theory, throughout the week, we add the news stories from video gaming that we want to talk about. Mm-hmm. The reality is, on Wednesday, we panicked a couple hours before the show, go and find the most prevalent news stories and throw them in there.
Yeah.
And other stuff happened, but because of this one thing, essentially, it dominated the news stories. Everywhere I went to get news stories, this was the top of the page.
Yeah.
So you can say whatever you want about, okay, well, she was at roughly 500,000 viewers, and that's for her channel, not counting the people she's streaming with, not counting people who are going to tune in later to a VOD, not counting all of that. But then you also have to factor in that now, if you are plugged in any way, shape, or form to video gaming websites or content or news, this is also the leading story on every single one of those websites, whether you watch Twitch or not.
Yeah.
Like, this is how news gets out to people now, to a certain subset of people. And it's not one that gets mined by politicians very frequently. It's one they like to talk about, but it's not one where they actually reach out and make that approach.
Right. Yeah. Like it's a potentially a sea change. Not potentially. It is happening. It's happening. Beau's right. It's happening. John's right. It's happening. The question is how rapidly. None of this stuff is ever overnight. You'll note that radio still plays a role in political discourse throughout, especially election years. So it's not like we've gotten rid of the old ways entirely, but you know, we're definitely moving toward this more. And I do think that they need to, because if they don't, they're going to get behind everybody. I look at my 20-year-old son, his entire generation, they don't know life without some sort of smart device phone. They don't know it. Like my kid was 7 when iPhones came out, and that was a big moment, you know, for at least for mobile computing. And so much has happened since then. There's no way that his generation is going to be up there going, well, now I don't know about this internet. Like they're just not going to do that. They are the internet. Like they're going to know everything there is to know. It's going to be as mainstream as you expect it to be. And it's going to be the olds who are seriously the lamest ever. It's going to be, that's why I am so dead set by the, all the way up to my deathbed. I will know what the F is going on between me and however I'm connected to that internet, to that network, however it's going, whatever's going on, I will know what's up. Because, and I mean everything from just like basic functionality to of whatever's cool in 30 years or whatever's happening in 30 years, I refuse to be that guy that's like, oh, I don't know how you were back in my, I'm not doing it. Just not going to do it. Now, I may do a little of it because maybe that's just natural for old people to get stupid. I don't know. But I'm going to work really hard on it because that generation, they're going to have no time for us, dude. And our freaking old man talk about, well, I remember AOL days. We had data caps in 2020. We still had to pay extra money if we went over our date. Like, well, all our old notions are going to sound really stupid to his generation.
Well, and if you're sitting there thinking, well, isn't this aiming a little low? Like, you know, I have a feeling because in this household, there were exactly 2 people that were really, really excited about this, and neither of them are old enough to vote. But you think about it, and yeah, maybe it is getting a group of people that are younger excited about something, but now you have people who are about to make their own decisions about how they feel about politics and how they engage with politicians and how they feel about voting. And that's going to be coming up in the length of maybe a presidential term, maybe 2 presidential terms, and they're going to be making that decision. Yeah. We look at it now and we go, oh, yeah, they still got forever to go. But it's not that long in the grand scheme of things. And when all of a sudden that wave hits and that vote swings because of it, and we go, how did this happen? Well, it's because a whole bunch of kids saw somebody streaming on Twitch and thought, oh, that person's cool. I'm going to be interested in their politics. And guess what? Sometimes just being interested, especially nowadays where we have such a hard divide in where we get information and what that information gives us, if you're focusing on one side, that completely alters the information you get parsed and told, and that can change voting for your entire life.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not wrong about that. Also, somebody said via email to me earlier today, they said, well, I don't trust politics and everything's a strategy. I'm like, all right, well, go on. Not really, because the email was in full. I didn't say anything to them and then read the rest. Anyway, the rest of the email basically said, what if this is just a way for her to, you know, get one of the stodgy olders that she's up against or people that don't like her to say out loud on a microphone on the Senate floor or on the House on the House floor and accidentally say into a microphone something to the effect of games are for kids or I can't believe you'd bother. Well, while you're busy playing video games like a 10-year-old, we're here doing the real government's work or whatever. Like, how much does she just want one of those guys to say that? Because the minute one of those guys or ladies says that, there will be a little bit of a backlash, big or small.
They'll get shouted down by all the internet denizens, which is everyone now. The only people that won't are people who have a political affiliation with that person and decide to throw logic out the window in order to align their values up with the party they choose to. But like, you know, that she's early. There's such a thing as being too early with an idea, and then you get hung, like a scientific idea, and everyone's like, no, the earth is flat, die, and they kill you. And then there's being on time, being the guy who discovers it, or being among them of a thing. And then there's after, when we all enjoy it and take it for granted and think it was always there. And, she probably, like, for politicians, and this is probably why people don't want politics in their games, but the game never stops. Everything they do is part of their career. Like, that seems obvious from the movies, the Hollywood films that were made, like Primary Colors is a great one, for example. Like, the politics never stops. And so, yes, I assume everything has an ulterior motive with a politician, even if they're being, I think they're being cool and on Twitch and know what I'm into. Like, I still suspect any politician as being motivated to have people like them so they get votes. And that's just what that is. There's no, you can't have a politician that isn't a politician, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. And there's always an angle. And I think people are right to assume that it's okay. It's fine. That's the job. And you shouldn't get all wrapped up in it or see anyone or another as like your political savior or whatever. I just think it's interesting what the difference would be, say, all right, so like her playing Among Us, or she did a bunch of stuff with Animal Crossing early on, stuff like that. Seeing that and knowing that, and having her like reach out on Twitter and say, hey, does anybody have such and such item? I don't have one and I need to get it. And people saying, yeah, it's in my store. And her literally going to somebody else's Switch, walking through their town, going to their store, buying something from the twins and then leaving is, again, speaking the language, the actual language of what these gamers are talking about and want and do every day. It's not just saying, well, I'm here to just say good job on your beautiful layout and nice work on the fish you've caught today. And well, just keep on going. Like, that's not it. The message is, dude, I don't have that clock. I need it. Okay, sweet. I have one in the store. Come get it. Like, that's the language of it. And she knows it. And she's good at it. You talk about all her angles you want, all her strategies you want, but she knows it. And I know that there will be people, some equivalent of her on the right, who could do the same thing, or maybe even is doing the same thing. I don't know. But if they are, that fluency is going to matter. And people's ability to connect with them is going to depend on that fluency. So yeah. I'm saying
politicians will have to be better at it.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, if
all those shitty politicians who get away with stuff because there's no camera on them and they can convince the other shitty people in their workplace that they're worth being there, is not going to fly when you got a camera on you and people will decide for themselves just what you describe.
You can't serve for example, it's like saying, okay, so back in the day on the nightly talk shows, that's where you found out if a presidential candidate and or sitting president had any sense of humor. Okay. If they were funny at all, that's where you'd know. So it was like Letterman, Jon Stewart later, but kind of within that range, that's when you knew. So when George W. Bush would go on Letterman, he just wasn't funny. And no one around him was funny. Nothing about his appearance on there was funny. And it really struck me. I'm like, man, he's not funny. Like, there's nothing about him that isn't all uptight and weird in this context. That would be the same to me as saying, hey, Ted Cruz, the kids love video games. You should play Fortnite for 3 hours tonight on stream. Good Lord. Just imagine what that is. That's horrendous, because I don't believe he gives two shits about gaming on any other level other than, ooh, there's a demographic that might vote for me. Sweet. I'll go pretend like I know what I'm doing. And he won't. It's the same thing that people got mad at when Jay Moore would host BlizzCon. It's like, he doesn't know anything about these things he's talking about. This is that you're
super
just,
sus.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's very sus, Bo.
It's very sus.
So people are going to immediately jump and go, well, listen, you're being partisan and all that. I'll give you a obvious, because we're talking about AOC, I'll give you another Democratic example. Joe Biden has an Animal Crossing island. I have zero interest in going to Biden Island. I don't want to go there. I don't want to see it. I don't think it exists for me to go visit and hang out and have a good time. Yeah. I have zero interest in this, because to me, and yes, it would be naive to believe that there wasn't an ulterior motive to all this. But the ulterior motive is right there, to raise awareness in voting. That was the purpose. Is there deeper meaning? Sure. But for him, it just looks like I got to reach out to kids.
Does he play Animal Crossing? I don't think so. He set it up for him. I think if there's a 70-year-old politician who's into Animal Crossing, like that woman who's into Disgaea 2 that I showed that video, she has a whole YouTube channel dedicated to the Disgaea series, and she is like retirement age old, and she's like, I love this game. Here's an unboxing, like videos upon videos of her. I'm like, I listen to her.
Of course.
I watch this stuff.
Because it's genuine.
So if Biden is into Animal Crossing and he wants to hang out and talk about it,
see, this is the difference.
I'm all right. As long as it's genuine, and that's the politician aspect.
Right. That lady is genuine about it. In fact, she only exists in your consciousness and in your circles because she is genuine. That's the only reason you even know about her, and it's easy to see, and it's easy to suss out. Not suspect, but suss out. So that's all possible. When you hear Joe Biden has an island, my very first thought went, no, he doesn't. Joe Biden's people have an island, and they set it up, and he may hop in there while his assistant is moving shit around, but he's not doing any of it. I don't believe he would, because why would he? It's just not in his wheelhouse. Now, if you told me that Cortez did, I'd believe you, because I've seen it, and also she strikes me as somebody who likes playing games just because they're fun. Now, you could still say, well, she's got lots of motives. I'm not saying she doesn't. What I'm saying is there are going to be people entering politics more and more and more, young like her, who actually love this stuff, who played Mortal Kombat every time it came out and loved it and knows every fatality still by heart.
And they also want to help repair your healthcare system.
Or
they like beheading people, and they want to help people.
Or hurt us. I don't know. Like, whatever their special interests are. My point is, the gaming aspect, just like you know people in your real life who are great, who are gamers, and some are wonderful human beings and some are utter dicks. That is not going to change. They're still going to be gamers either way, and they're going to come up through the ranks. The show's about video games. That's why we're focusing on this, because it's a, you know, we're not talking about, you know, the majority of society coming through gaming methods of communication in the future. I don't think that that's necessarily true. The internet, absolutely, but there's tons of aspects to that. One is gaming. And people like her and people who understand gaming, I get kind of excited when I know they know what they're doing. But when Joe Biden goes, I got this island, Joe, Hollywood Joe, check me out, I got the sunglasses on. Bullshit.
So, but has he streamed himself playing it?
Yeah, they did it the other day. They had a bunch of people going to the
island. So a lot of people found it sus, and maybe it isn't sus. Maybe it's true, and he's got an uphill battle to eventually prove to people. But if it's just a promotional thing because the kids like it, we can all smell it. We all smell bullshit. We all know it. So that's not, there's not likely to be a lot of success in these scenarios you're describing, Scott, rightly, because they don't genuinely play video games. So we're all going to be like, they're just doing it to do it. But they'll give Amazon a lot of money or something, or Amazon will want something from them. So they'll be on your front page and getting promoted. Like, they're amazing anyways. But eventually, like, my feeling is that those people that are sus, whether they're playing games or not, but let's just the context of games, they'll get sussed out, as you said, and they'll be replaced with other awesome people who want to be a part of, because the important part about live streaming, I've discovered, at least for me, and what I like about it when I watch it, is not the manicured, oh, here's a show and here's a presentation. It's a guy walking onto the screen looking like a normal human being that I can relate to, doing weird things like picking his nose on stream or making dumb mistakes in games. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I like that guy. And I would like a normal human being, a person comfortable enough and vulnerable, comfortable being vulnerable enough to show me that they're normal, they're human like me and their fellow countrymen or whatever. And I can, because someone pointed out C-SPAN is the live stream of government. That's people at work. I want to get to know people.
Yeah.
The worst way to get to know people is work with them, like for a day. Like they're giving, they're probably showing you their best side. They're biased.
Yeah.
But you go have a beer with someone and they say, listen, I don't normally tell this, but this is one of my stories. And you're like, whoa, you got a connection. And it's like, we have the streaming. Any politician come up here and say, listen, I just want to tell you a story about my childhood. And I'm not going to put on the voice that sounds like I'm talking presidential or whatever. I'm just going to be a dude and just say, I'm really bummed out by this thing. And, you know, because of that, I think tomorrow I'm going to try and focus on making that situation a little, you know, it's like, whoa, the human being just relaxing, thinking about his job, taking it seriously and sharing it with us. Like, to me, that's what politicians are going to look like. And Twitch is the vehicle. YouTube Live is another thing right now. But today, the place to be intimate with your audience, except for OnlyFans or whatever, is, which I don't recommend politicians take up as a thing.
Yeah, probably don't do that.
Would
so
be
much.
Twitch, honestly.
Here's the thing. If I want, what I want is, I love the idea that a major politician, especially in this case, the, you know, the other person on the ballot to vote for in the highest office of this land, I love the idea that there is a one-off goofy Animal Crossing event. This is what I want, though, and I built a career out of doing this. I've tried really hard to be the guy you hear on microphone with all my mistakes, my foibles, my goofs, and my bright points. All of those things is me. It's all me, and you are getting me. Ask my wife. People do all the time. Is he like this in real life? She says yes. It's 100% him. It's transparent. That was always really important to me, still really, really important to me. I want that out of my politicians. So when I see Joe Biden's got an island, I want him to go in there and go, I don't know what this is. I've never played this before. It seems like the kids, like, be honest with me about it. Now, not that he's outwardly lying, but it's a very controlled message. It's a very controlled environment. They're not really, you know, having you look at it. As a gamer, I want him, if I could walk up to him or Trump or anybody else and said, tell me who Tom Nook is. They're not going to be able to tell me.
Tell me about the Nook.
Yeah, tell me about the Nook. Why is it a problem?
You might get different answers.
Exactly. But in 20 years, all the politicians will know who Tom Nook is.
They might, and that's an okay thing. And then there's a new level of how people leverage things and use things to manipulate and all of that. I'm not saying that that's not true or that we're going to hit some utopian ideal when all the gamers grow up, because there's also a lot of real dicks in gamer culture. So.
Yes.
We can wish for the best, but I'm not sure that's what we're going to get. But the point is...
Yeah, I'm not saying it's a positive thing, for sure. It's right. Just a thing.
Right.
So neutral.
Yep.
I just... what am I trying to say?
I interrupted you, but you were talking about you don't want... You want people to be genuine, and you've made a career, by the way, which, let me back that up, it isn't easy. Making it look easy is the career. Being a politician that doesn't sound like a politician is like the hardest thing in the universe. When people are like, man, why do these politicians behave that way? It's like, because very few people are talented enough to do it. And Scott's particular talent is he's on camera all the time and on voice being himself. And you don't believe that that's hard? Try getting a bunch of people who never podcasted before to record a podcast. They sound like they're on stilts. And they're like, oh, no, I'm being natural. I'm like, you're putting on a voice. You're putting on airs. You don't even see it in yourself. Everyone listening is like, they're putting on airs.
And when I hear myself leaning, or if I feel myself drifting into a place where it's coming out too machinery-ish, you know, like I'm just, I don't know, like I'm on rails or whatever, I get really mad and introspective about it because I don't like going that direction. I mean, hell, this morning on TMS, I told a story about how I woke up this morning with a bunch of blood on my right thigh.
Oh, shit.
I know. That I still have no explanation about, by the way. It didn't come out of me because no other blood, it was on the outside of my sweat, of my, what do you call them?
Sweatpants. I mean, was Kim involved in this?
No.
Blood? Maybe you don't want to talk about that.
No. We looked, again, full transparency. We looked at all the options. She's not bleeding. I didn't bleed it out of anything. No front, no back, no holes, no cuts. I'm good.
But and the blood came from somewhere.
Oh, I know. So we think it was maybe one of the dogs, like, burst a little something in her butthole. I don't know because she sat on me. They're both fixed, though, so there's no in heat blood going on or anything.
Hang on.
That's what you do. You fix a female dog and they don't bleed anymore. Well, that's the whole thing.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah.
So they're not in heat or anything like that. So I can't blame it on the dogs necessarily, except I still think it was probably the dog. Maybe she had a cut. They wrestle a lot and bite each other. One's a puppy and a big Rimmelreiner puppy, so big enough to make a good gash on something. And I just had this inexplicable blood. So all day today, I'm like, all right, I got to pee. Let's go see if it's anything to do with the pee.
Maybe I had a leaky blood thing.
I mean, you don't know. I don't know. A little clotty
pee and boom, blood happens. Yeah.
So I went and peed, clear as spring rain. No problems. Nothing wrong with the back end either. Just no cuts, no mole that fell off. It's just, and it's only on the outside of my sweatpants, not inside, which means
I'm now picturing Scott with like a toolbox, you know, and like a, you know, in a Donald Duck cartoon and the tire gets flat and he pulls out a giant toolbox with all kinds of weird looking things. And yeah. He's like, nope, not the bottom all that. Nope, being just fine.
I'm just picturing him with a black light suddenly turning into CSI and he's just like, we found blood.
Yeah. That's what it feels like.
He's just going through the house.
It's like, I want to take my sunglasses off because I finally figured out.
Hey, do you have a black light?
What would you
find a trail. If it was one of your dogs, there might be a trail. It might not just be a pool on, maybe as a hint, you might see a drop on a doorway.
I don't think I have it.
Does blood look different than other things under a black light?
So this, you guys are actually getting dangerously close to one of my irrational fears, which you ever think about just like, you watch those murder shows, right? And they're like, we found a drop of blood at the scene. And then I think about how often my blood ends up places that I don't want it to, whether that's just like a cut finger or, oh, I got a nosebleed. Or the other day I was walking around and I looked down and I realized that like 2 days ago I had banged my toe really bad. And apparently it had gotten a cut by the nail and that just tore open and was just bleeding all over the place. And I thought, if I went missing, and they went into the house and they were like, is there blood in here? They would probably find it. And they'd be like, he was clearly murdered. But not necessarily. There's a million reasons. People are just like fleshy blood balloons and a little blood goes all over the place sometimes.
Yeah.
And did you check your nose?
The other thing. I checked my nose.
There's blood in there because maybe you could have sat up, sleep. You know, you're like, ooh.
But it was enough. It was enough blood, by the way. And by the way, everyone in the chat room is like, was it jelly? Was it this or that? No, it's not food. It is absolutely blood. I'm 100% positive. I know what blood looks like.
Taste it.
No, I mean, I came close to smelling it.
Don't taste it if you don't know if it's yours. Don't do that.
Because what if it's dog? I don't want to smell dog blood. What's that about?
Well, I'm sure dog blood smells fine. I mean, just there might be something bad.
No blood in the bed. Okay, no blood in the bed. I even sleep on that side. And so if something came out of me, we'd have had blood on the bed. There's no blood.
Did you kill a mosquito? How much blood was it?
A lot. Like this much? Like,
yeah, that's a fair amount.
That's a lot of blood.
It didn't pool. Like it was on you, but did it pool up in your mattress?
It was from, no, that's the thing. It didn't get on. Nothing else has blood on it, but
and it
me.
Was something on, it was probably, it was under the blanket on your jogging pants?
Yes. But the blankets don't have anything.
Murder
in
anybody while you were on a jog?
There was no murder
about it.
No murder. No bodies.
Then if it was under the blanket, it wouldn't be you in your sleep because you'd have. How would you know to put off the blanket, bleed, and then put the blanket back on?
Right.
It's got to be your dog. It's for sure your dog.
It's got to be the dog, right?
Yeah.
All right. So I want to. Here's the point.
Unless it was Kim, but you said Kim's. You know, maybe she had a nosebleed on your leg. Like, does her nose have any dried blood? I've had nosebleeds before, and I've woken up to like.
Oh, stain. Massacre, so, like, right? Pillow and what? All that. Yeah.
Like, and it's like, it hasn't happened very much, but it's disgusting. But I'm like, well, I had a nosebleed. Like, I
none
no
of that. What would happen? The only way that would work is if she had a nosebleed right down next to my thigh and just went blah, 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 blah all night and then had no markings on her, any kind of blood on her face. It makes no sense. None of it makes sense. Yeah. But I will play this
dog.
As if
it's
I discovered
sure a dog.
It. There we go. CSI Miami style. Well done.
Well, here's what I know. Here's the facts.
We're playing Among
this
Us.
This is shaping
right
up to be the best core ever. We've talked about politics and mysterious blood.
And we're playing
topics
Among Us right
that
now.
Are sure to just be the most inclusive, welcoming topics known to all.
I guess
John sounds like he's a little sus right now. He's trying to change the topic and not acknowledge me.
All I'm saying is my whole point of bringing up that story was I look forward to a day when a politician farts on a microphone in an interview with 60 Minutes and is okay admitting it. Is okay just saying,
when a politician acknowledges the mysterious blood on the pants.
Let's make sure to stop the sentence there. I think he nailed it with the first.
But just like fart in the thing and then have the lady go, oh, and have him go, oh, sorry, I had freaking beef bologna for dinner or whatever. Like just own it. Own your farts. That's all I'm saying.
Now that we're deep into this, it's likely to never come up again on the show.
Yeah.
I have a weird thing that's been happening to me, a weird fixation.
Go.
Okay.
Because I shouldn't bring this up. I mean, we don't. It's just sometimes, you know, when you have those big entourages, like Trump's up there with all the doctors and all the people, and there's a big entourage. It happens in Canada, too. Any political Yeah. When a bunch of politicians stand in front of you and you're like, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I'm always wondering, I'm like, so we know porn is the most popular thing on the internet, and we know a lot of people do it. And I'm always trying to figure out how many of those people are jacking off tonight. I'm just like, there's like 20 people, and not all of them are going to do it. But you know, Ted Cruz did it. Like, didn't he tweet out something that was a porn thing?
Yeah, he liked
it. We know
this
other guy, Toblerone Joe or whatever from the NBC did it. Just got busted for cranking and went out. And I'm like, oh, this is important. I've been thinking about this past year. I'm like, porn's so popular, yet no politicians ever do it. So I'm like, so I see the tableau of 20 people, and I'm like, I'm trying to picture them an hour from now. Like, how many are so stressed out and they finally get a break after an hour, they're cranking one off?
Here's what I think. None of the women do, probably. I shouldn't say none. There's always
no, no, they do, for sure.
Okay. Yeah. What I'm telling you right now is I do not think.
Let's not perpetuate the myth that women don't.
I don't think Nancy Pelosi right now is on freaking braziers looking at people.
She's the worst one. Come on now.
I'm not saying.
I mean, you don't know.
She drives me crazy, but I guarantee she's not doing that right. Okay. Okay. The laws of probability.
Especially politicians. They're professional grifters.
Let's go with the laws of probability. Ted Cruz. I'm trying to think of a lefty I want to throw under the bus here.
Nancy Pelosi.
No, besides her. But I want to use her. But AOC. Let's say, okay. No,
you think AOC has never been to Pornhub?
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, if right this second, and if I was doing a probability test, who is the most likely right this second to be cracking one off to some porny porn out of those three people? It's Ted Cruz. Is the probability.
Okay. Yeah, but it's just because he's older and he has to go to bed soon.
I think he's gross.
It's because he's Ted Cruz, right?
And he's just gross, looks like the kind of guy. He's creepy. He's creepy and he looks at people creepy, and I think he's constantly undressing everybody when he looks at him. That's what I think of Ted Cruz. But also, did you guys hear this? This new Sacha Baron Cohen sequel, the Borat sequel, they got Rudy Giuliani on a bed with an underage girl, like getting his hands down his pants and all this stuff. Like, dude, what the frick? What are you doing? What the frick?
Like, wait, what did you say? Is there a new trailer? What did you say?
No, there's a scene in this.
It came out that in the new Borat movie, there is a clip of one of the characters. Getting Rudy into a hotel room and he starts putting his hands down his pants and all of that before the movie.
She's 15 forward. And the whole
thing. No, she isn't. She comes in and says she's 15.
Yeah, she's playing 15. Sorry, that's an important distinction. Yeah. But he thinks she is. She's just sort of leading him on. Haven't seen the scene yet, but I've seen pictures of it. At one point, Rudy's laying on the bed. What is he, 72, 3, whatever he is now.
Rudy Giuliani and Mrs. D.
Laying on the bed with his hand down his pants. And it's bad. I don't know if it ends his career, because the last 40 years have taught me that no one loses their career when really shitty things happen anymore. But,
man,
but still.
Sacha Baron Cohen, what a great man. What?
So my point
honestly,
is,
who has a bravery?
I'll admit, I have a bias. I think there are a lot more dudes doing skeevy shit right this second than women are. I know that's not
but
true.
But masturbating isn't a skeevy thing.
I'm not
thing.
Saying
like,
masturbating
that's what
is.
The whole, no. That's what the whole thing is about the guy losing his job.
Yeah.
And that's
no,
a little
no.
rabbit hole.
No, no, no. Hold on. Let me say this. That guy should not lose his job because he likes to masturbate. That guy should lose his job because he was masturbating at work.
Also with a 15-year-old.
He thought he was off the call, Scott. He thought he was off the call.
It doesn't matter. He's on the hours. It's like if I'm at the office. All right. I'll see you guys in a minute. Heading back to the break room. I wouldn't come in there if I were you. Like, you're on the clock. I know it's all remote work. I know it's weird. But save your doodly deal till later in the day.
Yeah, I agree with Scott.
Because I don't care what he does with his free time. That's freaking great. No problem. But you whip that thing out in a call. He thinks...
Everyone wants you to do it. Nobody wants to see it. That's the rules. these are the masturbation rules. Nobody wants to know. Nobody wants to hear it. Do it all you like. We're not going to vilify it anymore. But please, no one wants to see it, and no one wants a story about it.
Also, just don't do it at work. Whether you're working or not.
That's the declaration of masturbation independence. I've just repented right there.
I mean, that tubing guy, he should go home and jerk it every night. To his heart's content. Don't care.
Yes.
Not a problem.
Yeah.
But you're in a Zoom call, which wasn't over. They had split out into groups. He just thought his camera was off. So he's still talking and doing whatever and pulls out a little Peter there to take him on a walk. And he deserves all the freaking dunking he's getting because that's a work thing.
Doesn't this, isn't that a point in the victory column on the pros and cons for politician streaming? All those guys that can't help but have their pecker out every 5 minutes are not going to get very far anymore.
They're going to get caught.
I know it's Big Brother land, but at the same time, I'm okay with this.
Yeah.
I am okay with this. Yeah. And so I don't know. There's two things that are true. They're in conflict, but I believe them both to be equally of value. The fact that live streaming everything and Big Brother and all that is bad. But hey, right now people hide all their bullshit and get away with it because they don't have a camera on them and are not held accountable and think they can get away with things. Mm-hmm. When really politics and all this stuff is about awesome people being exceptional, but all the hacks also get in there and they're hacks and they are uninspiring, but they won't get anywhere not showing off that they are inspiring and all the frauds are there. Mm-hmm. And live stream, like AOC, confirmed, not a fraud, a great person. We want awesome. She's young. She's super smart. She's into cool things. She's having fun. Very beautiful too. We want more like her. But the system we have now hides everything. So you see a politician for 10 minutes. Yes, I'm very awesome. Thank you for asking. We're going to drop bombs. And that's all you see. So you don't really never know them. Yeah, and you don't know why you should be inspired by them. And yeah. The fact is, having a camera on someone who's awesome, even in their worst moments, and you still like them, you were with bonded to them for life. That's why all the great orators are still remembered, like the Frederick Douglasses and the Martin Luther Kings and all that, because they moved people and were doing what you do, Scott, being very real with them. And, you know, or any politician that was populist, I guess, but we want all of our politicians to be populist because they're our leader. We want to like them. Yeah. The fact that we don't like them is a massive problem. And if it takes live streaming to get to, for us to finally get to know people and make like informed opinions, but I like that person because I know them and we have to parcel it out the way Kickstarter does. Like we have to crowdsource it so everyone gets to see a bit of them and form their own decisions and like that guy and hate that guy. We are better informed for it because it's not the policies that we vote for. It's the person. We vote because we like that guy. We like Trump or we like Trudeau or we like Biden or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's tough because I don't think everyone likes Biden, but they still want to vote Democrat right now, you know? And so like it can be very difficult to marry those two things. And if that savior's not around, then someone steps up and it's lackluster.
Yeah.
So
like,
so
even in the case of the Tubin guy, I wish what he would say. Here's an example of it. He doesn't even have political pressure to do this. Just say, oh man. Sorry, guys. I like to whack it in the day sometimes. And even when we were all at the big office, you know, I'd sneak away. And it's just a thing with me. Like, freaking own it. Don't say, oh, it was a mistake. No, it wasn't. Tripping on your kid's toy and falling down the stairs was a mistake.
Yeah. They're still stuck playing old rules. They're playing by old rules. Like, if you watch how they behave, they're playing by rules that worked in the 80s because that's all they know. That's how they were raised. They were promised that politics worked that way probably as they were coming up. And they're getting bombshelled. All of them are getting bombshelled. They don't know what's going on except AOC.
Yeah.
So
He should have just come out and said, guys, it's 2020. We're under a lot of pressure. And you don't always feed the geese at night.
See, I would have appreciated that. I don't know if it would have made me any more comfortable with him having, you know, prime time spot on Mr. Commentary about anything. But at the very least, I'd go, all right, being honest with yourself and us. Good job. That start. I respect. I don't care when you go flog your hog. Just don't do it at work. That's all I'm saying.
And don't do it on Twitch. Jeff Bezos will turn off your channel no matter who you are, I'm pretty sure.
I watched his stream one night. No, it was an archive. That's what it was. Somebody had put it on YouTube. And there was a stream where somebody had thought, I'm sure there's a whole bunch of these. There's probably a whole Reddit channel that does these. But somebody who was streaming, everything's fine, playing games, whatever, turned it all off, thought they'd turned everything off. Cameras up, streams up. They go off in the corner with their lady friend and commit the act right there on camera. And of course got banned on Twitch, but somebody archived the video and kept it somewhere. And I just think to myself, that stuff's going to happen, and it's going to happen more and more. Like the Tubin thing. We're lucky with as much Zoom stuff as going on right now that this doesn't happen every other 5 minutes. Because, of course, it happened.
I'm sure it's happened, and it's been killed before it got out. I'm sure that's happened way more than what we see, too.
Maybe, yeah. But the thing is, like, yeah, because that stuff's not always public, right? Like, in this case, it became public because they were like, yeah, we're letting them go because we're putting them on leave or whatever they did. Anyway, I went too far down that hole. Good luck to all of you out there trying to rub one out during a meeting. Good luck.
And also, never mind. You nailed it. I think we should leave it. We've made enough trouble for one show. I think we're good.
All right. Go watch. Go check out Luna. It's out now. You have to be selected. Amazon Luna, everybody. Streaming at its finest. Go check it out. All right. Now time for this. Let's talk about games we played. For real on that Luna thing, those who have gotten it like it. They don't think it's, you know, going to blow any doors down. But it's a small fee for 50 games so far. More are being added all the time. It's more of a Netflix-style approach. Ubisoft's going to do some add-on channel stuff. It seems okay. It seems better than Stadia. I'll put it that way. From what people are saying.
There's a bar.
Yeah, there's a high bar to get over. Let's talk about what we've been playing. I played a lot of World of Warcraft this last week. For whatever reason, their pre-patch for their next expansion just landed with me. I'll go into way more detail on Friday for the instance, but I just wanted to mention what really got me here is actually what I was looking forward to the most with this expansion, which is the new character leveling experience. Whether you're starting a level one and a new player, or you're bringing an old ult back, or whatever it is, they've basically just turned the world into selectable time walking campaigns. I mean, that's literally what you're doing. So you can say, all right, well, I want to play Pandaria again. So you will play through Pandaria as your experience, and you'll make it all the way to 50 doing that, the new level cap of 50 before the expansion takes it to 60. And anyway, I decided to give all that stuff a try. Wanted to visit old stuff I haven't seen for, in some cases, 10 years or more. And did just that with multiple characters. I went from one max level character last week. Oh, that's not true. I have a demon hunter as well. I forgot about him. So I had two. I've got four more now. And part of it is because it's very fast. Like, to do that in a week seems crazy, but it's very fast experience, but it feels really good. It is very rewarding. You quickly, when you're gaining levels, you're quickly getting new abilities. It doesn't feel all spread out and weird. It just feels like a more cohesive leveling experience. And as a result, I'm just kind of all back in. Like, I can't get enough of it. Although, I'm now at a point. If you're not a patron, you won't hear John and I talk about this today, because while Bo was figuring out his stuff, we had a small conversation about how when you hit 50, what happens in the game. We don't have to get into it too much here, but basically it just ends wherever you're at, and you're sent back to Orgrimmar with about a minute timer to go wait for the expansion, basically, or do other content. And that's a little frustrating. I wish they gave us a toggle or a way to say, no, I want to stay here and just kind of keep working through this story or whatever and see Wrath of the Lich King all the way through or whatever.
Yeah.
Outside of that, though, I really like how it feels. It feels like the right thing to do to old content, made it relevant again in a way that's, like, usable. And I'm really excited for that expansion. So I wish they'd hurry up and put it out. We don't have even a new date yet. So if it's November, I mean, it was the 27th originally that got pushed, and then no new date. So
I saw you guys saying it was really fast.
Yeah, it's right? Quick. Yeah, it's quick and it feels good. Like, it just,
so you could play all the different expansions with different alts, like as an activity.
Yeah.
Like,
and you can, and you can change your mind, Bo. That's what's cool. I can be in the middle of, say, Wrath, which I was, and I hit a bugged quest, which I'm sure they'll fix, but it was so annoying to me. I was like, well, gosh, dang it. Maybe I'll just go over to Pandaria for a while, and it'll let you. Now, it doesn't let you go to the equivalent of level 17 in Pandaria. You start Pandaria at level 17 and work forward, but it lets you do that. And I could stop there if I wanted and go do, I don't know, you know, Legion, and just run Legion if I wanted to. So it gives you this option to talk to Chromie in town and let her switch these timelines up. So Chromie's actually worth something in World of Warcraft, as opposed to the Heroes, where she's pretty good. But in World of Warcraft, what a waste of space the Chromie is. Except for this is really cool. You go talk to her and she does this thing for you. So anyway, having a blast. It's going great. taking care of a few transmog things that I wanted to do. I really like the new starting area. I'm fully on board for this expansion. I'm more in than I thought I was going to be. So excited about that. And I played a bunch of the Solitaire Conspiracy, which I've talked about before, so I won't talk about in detail, but it is a fantastic cyberpunk themed solitaire game that I just love playing. It's very, very
good. I need to try that. I did wishlist it, but I forgot about it, so I'm glad you reminded me.
I think it's still under $10. It's like $9.50 or whatever it is, US. And worth every penny. The developer's really cool, and I follow them on Twitter, and they're you know, if you reach out to them, they answer their stuff, and they just seem great. But I really, really like it and recommend it highly to anyone who's looking for a good, if you like just a good single player, even just card game, which I guess it's a solitaire game no matter what if you're playing by yourself, but it's just a great new twist on that whole genre, and it looks cool. John, you are nearing the end of Hades. That doesn't mean you haven't beaten it, because you have many times.
I have, although the game has, I believe, three endings, so I've seen two of them.
Oh,
There is a, I don't know if it's a traditional ending, but there is a piece of content that you are definitely working towards that involves kind of what would be considered, I think, a completion level type event for the game. But there's still probably going to be stuff to do when I decide to put Hades down and walk away from it. But they have a little thing that kind of keeps track of things for you called the like record of fates or prophecies or whatever. I'm down to only four left, so I'm really running out of stuff on that. I've built almost everything for restoring the underworld. I've got, you know, stuff built across the board there. I have maxed out the relationships with almost every character. I think I've got about four more there. And the true ending seems to be tied to getting your, you know, relationship status with all the gods of Olympus to maximum. So I am very nearly there. I've got, I think, three more to do.
So what's the, I have questions. I have questions for you. I'm eager. First of all, because you're definitely, it seems like at least on story, it feels like probably I've done more runs than you, but you seem more advanced on story than I am all the time.
I'm at about 98 runs. I don't know how many.
Oh, no. Okay. You're not. I'm at 70 or 80 or something like that. Okay. So you are ahead of me. But when you say three endings, I've only gotten the one ending, you know, with the ride.
Okay, so that was what I would call the second ending. Okay. I think the first time you beat it and you kind of realize what the game is, that's kind of an ending of sorts. Like, you achieve the goal.
That's your first, like, just let me finish this. Crofton, who I bring up on the show, it took him like 50 runs. It took him so long. I was teasing him. I'm like, you haven't finished the game yet? 50 times, really? No win? He finally did it, though, but that's like feels like an ending because you try so much just to beat Dad once. And when you finally beat Dad, you're like, yes, this game, I beat it. And then I was like, oh, you've got to keep going. You're not done. You want credits? You got to keep working at it. So you count the credit screen as two.
Yes.
And three is the same thing I think I'm working towards, which is that whole plot with the Olympian gods and how Mom and Dad are kind of, you're working with them to keep up appearances. Okay, cool. Yeah. Then we are relatively similar. The other question I had, I forgot, was something that you brought up. Oh, do you know how to unlock the last tart tier of the Olympian gods?
So
it happens, but I don't know how I do it.
It seems somewhat arbitrary because I needed it for quite a few. And I was like, I don't know what to do because I knew Aphrodite, I still had the last one locked. And I was like, I feel like I pick her abilities pretty frequently, and I thought maybe it had something to do with the fate thing because I hadn't unlocked one of those. I unlocked that, had a couple more times where she was one of the boon options for me. I still didn't get it, and then out of nowhere I just took her boon at one point and she was just like, hey, you're doing really great, keep going, and it just unlocked. So
it's kind of random, I guess.
Yeah, it almost feels like there's just like a maybe a counter of how often you take their boons, and once you hit it, it just unlocks. Because I have noticed it's been unlocking kind of left to right. Notable exception is I think Hermes might be different. Like, for some reason,
Hermes is rare.
Yeah, he seems a little weird because
Hermes is like the hammer.
Yeah.
Like the hammer, you get like basically a virtual guaranteed hammer in Tartarus and a virtual guaranteed hammer in Elysium. Yeah. And I'm even wondering if you increase the drop rate with that mirror talent, if you can actually get a third one, because I think I've gotten three hammers once, but it's very rare. And so Hermes is like the hammer, but in Asphodel. So like he'll appear other places, but you get at least two guaranteed Hermes drops. And so I'm always like, I don't want to pass this up because I need this, right? You don't pass up a hammer. Sometimes you get more.
Sometimes
and like,
you
awesome.
Have to pick between him and a hammer, and that's
yeah. But you're never like meaning your main god or your secondary god is never Hermes. You never get it early enough to build into a Hermes build, and his talents are so generic, awesome, really good, but they're either defensive or they increase attack speed or they do all that like peripheral stuff to change your character, and less of the here's fire sword and here's ice sword, you know. So I think he's a special one, and his unlock, I could see it being special too. He also talks a lot, like I'm doing right now.
Hermes is
They keep asking me if I want to keep talking to him.
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah, because I feel like I'll miss something, but maybe I should tell him to shut up. I don't know.
That's what I was wondering. I was like, if I tell him to be quiet, is that what I need to break that lock? I don't know.
The game doesn't explain these things, and I refuse to look up because I want to avoid spoilers, so I don't want to like be a min-maxer about it.
Do you feel like they're discoverable, or are they just accidental? Like, are you worried about that? That you're just going to bump into it by
that
accident?
Definitely happens. We're like, I don't know how this works, but stuff's progressing. And when you're getting it, you're like, this feels good. Okay, great. But then when you're kind of like, oh, I want to get that last heart, I'm like, I don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
And then I'll do five runs, and I'm like, I kind of want to know how to unlock that.
Yeah.
I haven't done it for hearts, but I did do it for some of the boons and some of the stuff like. I wasn't getting the prophecy about buying one of everything from Karen's shop. And I was like, how do I get this? And it was just because I was never taking the talent where you get a free resurrect in every room, but you don't have death defies throughout the entire thing.
Right.
And so there was one called, I think, Touch of Sticks that I was never getting. And it was because I hadn't taken that
the prereq talent. Yeah.
And ran into a similar thing where, again, Aphrodite, there was an ability there that I was never seeing. And it was because it has a prerequisite on her own list where you take the cast ability and it kind of gives you a short. And I hate it because it just makes the cast ability so small, which I already struggle with. But if you take that, it unlocks the opportunity for this one to then drop after that. And so I was like, oh, okay, I got that. So those I looked up, and I was kind of glad I did. But for the most part, you'll just discover the rest naturally.
By the way, that Aphrodite thing, you can put that in the bow that launches a cast, and then it'll do it like a ranged weapon. That's why this game's awesome. You're like, I hate this thing. It's melee. Oh, it's so close. Then there's a weapon that you just change it completely, and you're like,
or the shield. That shield powered up properly. Oh, my gosh. The hidden
which tier shield
it?
Do you... Oh, the fourth form, Oh, I haven't really figured out the fourth one. The third one I really like, but the fourth one I haven't. I have it, but the build I did, it was like, oh, this doesn't feel good, but probably I didn't pick the right things. So
you have to build it kind of like the bow, because it's all about loading your cast into the shield charge.
Yeah.
And then having also the throw for it is really strong. So if you talent up your cast and you talent up your special, it'll be real strong.
You'll be real, special. That's what you'll be.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, we could do this for hours.
If you couldn't tell by strategy.
Like, anyways, time for the Hades.
No, I love that. I love that game, but I'm not nearly as deep as you guys. And
we are so deep, Scott. We're sick.
If
John's farther than me, then because I think I'm kind of sick with playing this game. Like I've been playing it so much.
Yeah.
It's like take a break. It'll be there next week, kind of thing. You know, and it's like no. Yeah. Must play every day.
Must play
and, we're kind of really deep.
Yeah.
It's shocking to me that I have put the amount of time I've put into it, which is already substantial.
Yeah.
And then I basically never used the cast ability. I hated it. I was just like, oh, it's this limited resource and I got to go pick it up and it seems really stupid and I hate this thing. And then I did a build based around it because I was like, I should get used to using it. It's dumb that there's a whole button and mechanic that I haven't used in this game.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh. It's so powerful. It's so good. And I was just like, It completely reinvigorated the game for like, me.
It revinegared
the game for me because, man, oh my gosh, that thing is great. And I loved it all over again. And then I was like, okay, well, let me try the bow where you can load your cast. Let me try the shield where you can load your cast. Let me try the sword where you can pop the cast out. And I made some builds that just decimated bosses. You know, the final boss, you're just like, I just trashed you. It was no big deal.
Yeah. And this game is so, it's got such a hold on me that I was like, I'm not going to play some games. I'm going to do Korra, probably go to bed, grab a bite to eat. Now, all I want to do is play Hate. Like, just you talking about it. And I'm like, this is definitely happening. I have to play this now.
So send your emails to John saying that he's the enabler today, not me.
It's a cycle because I talk about it, gets Bo wanting to play. Bo streams it and I start watching his stream and I go, I can't watch him stream this without playing it myself. I have to load it like, right now.
I really want to emphasize, I think it's subtle and I don't think this game will hit mainstream Call of Duty levels of popularity or whatever. But this thing is a perfected dopamine simulator. Like literally every time you think you had enough, something's like, oh, do that. And then, oh, bing, and oh, and it's just like, it's really a diamond in the what they developed here. It is world class.
Yeah.
The polish on it, the game, how fun it is, and how everything. I was reading an interview and they're saying, no, when like someone's impression of it is that death in roguelikes, you know, usually feels like a setback, right? Like, oh, I died, I lost everything somehow. And it's depressing when I lost my hardcore character in Diablo 3. I mean, I needed time.
Yeah.
It's just like, I put a lot of work into it. It's all gone now. Yeah. And I made a stupid, I had a disconnect.
Yeah.
I'm pissed off.
Yeah.
This game, you're like, I lost. Oh, the 80s had 30 health left and I lost.
Yeah.
Ah! But within seconds, you're talking to Hypnos, and you're like, oh, it's all right. And then Hades is there, and he's like, so, you kind of sucked this time. And you're like,
oh, yeah? I would do it again.
I liked it. And I'm in this beautiful painting, walking around, talking to these great voice actors. I'm okay.
Yeah.
I want to do it again.
Yeah. And within seconds, you're like, I'm still getting new dialogue. Yeah. And it's shocking to me.
Yeah.
Like, I tried a really high heat level run with a new weapon and I got trashed by Lerny the Bone Hydra before you change his name for the rest.
Bone Hydra
of the
was
game.
My nickname in high school, baby.
Yeah.
So previously the Bone Hydra, now known as Lerny through the rest of the game, and I lost to him and I hadn't lost to him in ages. And the next time I went to fight Megara, and I go walking into a room and she goes, "You got trashed by the Bone Hydra?" And I was like,
that's why this game is awesome.
I was like, yeah, I did.
It does make
they all comment on your last run.
Yeah, it like, makes you crazy. It makes you literally want to like check your drive and see how big the files are because you're like, how are there new voice samples?
It's only like a 4 gig game.
Yeah, it's crazy.
The one last question I have for you, John, because I haven't done this. Have you done Extreme Measures Hades at all?
No, I've been kind of balancing my heat runs. So like right now, I think I'm an 8 on the sword and an 8 on the gun.
Oh, I see. You're pushing them all up together, right? Yeah.
Yeah. They're all rising, although certainly some are not as high. I think I was on like a 5 on the shield the other day, and that was after a lot of shield runs. So they've kind of all been rising up. And once you do that Hades upgrade, you're at like a 10 at that point with nothing else added to it. And I was like, well, I don't really need it with anything else at the moment, so this is a bit much, but I want to try it because I do want to find out. There's a whole stupid mechanic about these statues that are covered with sheets and you have to do a certain heat level to get the statue uncovered.
Wasn't the first one was a bit disappointing, I gotta say.
Yes, it is. You get totally trolled by the first one. They make you run at like heat level 6 or 8, I think it is.
8,
actually.
It's 8. Yep. And it took me 4 tries, by the way, dying on Hades 4 times.
8 is hard, and you feel like you have to really work for it and earn it, and spoilers if you don't want to know what's under that sheet.
No, we need to tell people this.
Yeah. It is a naked statue of Skelly with a little leaf covering his pelvic bone. And it's Skelly just coming out of a bath.
for those.
It's a total troll because everything in the game up to that point unlocks even a little something that modifies your run. Even 1% on 1%. This does absolutely dick all. It's the first time it happens.
If you guys don't know who Skelly is, he's your little training dummy, basically, when you get a weapon and you want to like practice out before you enter. He's just this stupid skeleton.
So I'm pretty sure the other two statues that are covered are also going to be trolls, right? There's no mechanics behind these. Yes, I was hoping there would be.
Because you're going to get to 16 and it's going to unveil and it's going to be Skelly in a different pose. And he's going to be like, sorry, boyo, that one's pretty bad too. But trust me, the next one's going to be real good.
Yeah. Part of me likes that. Skelly again. Something like
it's
that.
It's always freaking Skelly.
Yeah. I mean, you got to unlock it all, right? There'll still be that motivation, so you'll end up.
Well, I mean, I'm trying right now. I'll tell you, Scott, for me, I'm trying to look for the exit ramp on the game. I think maybe this real ending that John and I are talking about might be a good opportunity. I don't think I want to do heat level 58 or 3 or what. Like, I think with this game, I'm going to have to make a decision. Like, I'm going to complete the whole sandwich, not just the little sandwich, but the big sandwich that's offered after.
Yeah.
But I think at that point, it's a good time to find the off ramp. Cyberpunk's coming. I want to play Banner Saga 3 and all that.
Yeah.
So I need to get off this treadmill. Those statues, and I'm looking it up now, because if those statues are just going to be statues, I'm going to pretend they're not there and not worry about it.
If they're just
I don't need that in my life, you know? Because the next one's 16, and I'm sure the one after that's probably 32 or something ridiculous.
And, yeah, they double.
You know, if it takes me 4 attempts to try, I'm looking at 120 more attempts playing this game. I'll be at it for a while.
Yeah.
I have to be realistic about my time and make an adult decision.
Well, let us know what you find out about naked Skelly statues. That'll be fantastic.
Right. I will.
John, I know you've been doing similar stuff in WoW. How's you're doing some D&D prepping at home? What's that like? What are you doing there?
Yeah, so coming up soon, I just figured I'd mention this because it's a little bit of fun. I'm going to be doing a one-off D&D session with my fiance and probably the kids. So it's a mixture of her wanting to kind of get into it and kind of try it, me wanting to kind of do a proper DM session with, you know, a table and a dungeon and a map, and you know, more traditional than what we've done on There Will Be Dungeons, because I don't know how to use all the tools that Bo uses, so mine's just been like, use your imagination, you'll get by. So I want to do something a little more official, and at the same time, Kyle Ferguson, he's been doing his show DM Gives Inspiration. He created this whole encounter that he wanted us to review, and I thought, well, this is the perfect time. I'm going to create a little campaign based around this dungeon and encounter. I'm going to let her go in, and I'm also going to do some custom rules so that the kids can interact if they want to.
Right.
Because I kind of know deep down that if I tell the kids, hey guys, we're going to play D&D, get in here, you're going to make characters and all of that, and then they get disinterested and wander off, I'm just going to get mad. Yeah. So I figure I'll kind of create my own rules for them. They'll sort of be like summons. They can come in and assist and mess with the world at their will, and if they want to go play Roblox or something else, they got the ability to do that, and they can do that instead too. So it's kind of neat. I'm kind of getting into the whole like home table setting type DM stuff, which I haven't gotten to do yet, which is, you know, creating an actual dungeon layout and building it out of like little map pieces. And you know, I have a little dry erase map that I'm setting things up, and I'm writing my own custom rules for the kids and things like that. So that's very exciting. I'm spending a lot of time doing that, and it's got me all in and excited about D&D.
That's great. That's very cool. I want to hear how that pans out for you. It's different to cater it to like a younger audience, and there's going to be its own challenges, but it sounds like fun. I think you'll have a blast. Excellent. Well, there's what we've been playing. We do have a quick email.
That's a good question.
This came to us at talktothecore@gmail.com. That's talktothecore@gmail.com. Thanks for all your emails, everybody. We've been getting a ton of them. Here's one from Sir Ice Cream. It's a great name. EA recently confirmed that the new Star Wars Squadrons game will not be getting any post-launch content. I said that with contempt, even though I don't know if that's how he meant it. He says, He says, even though Squadrons has a single player campaign, the campaign is basically an extended tutorial to introduce players into the multiplayer portion of the game, which is the primary focus of the game. A mainly multiplayer game with no upcoming content seems odd. Imagine if Overwatch, Halo, or any type of other multiplayer game didn't get any content to those games. They would mostly be dead. I don't remember Halo getting a lot of extra stuff after the fact, though, did it? Like, even the newer Halos, they were just sort of... They were what they
were. I mean, multiplayer did. I feel like it's a little different.
This but is they like, get new content.
You're saying the opposite thing. Like, multiplayer games get lots of updates.
Yeah, but Halo did? And I don't think Halo is a good example. I think Halo got what it had, and then they didn't really add anything.
Oh, yeah, I don't think Halo is a good example.
No. Yeah, but Overwatch for sure, yeah. Your opinions, does this give more credence to the theory that Disney will not renew EA's Star Wars license when it expires in 2023? It's almost 2021 right now. Oh, man, is it really? Anyway, so potentially they have a little over 2 years left with the license. So, of course, no company is going to want to support a hero shooter in space for only 2 years. I'm personally hoping EA gets the license taken away and Disney either makes Star Wars games themselves or finds a developer who will treat this IP well, not the way EA treated it simply as a cash cow. Just curious what your thoughts are. Thanks, Sir Ice Cream. I can tell you this. Disney shuttered all their homegrown development, so they're done with that. They're not doing that anymore. So if they take the license from EA, it's not going to be games they make themselves. They'll use somebody else again. Whether they'll do that or not, or who they would use if they don't use EA is a guess to me. It would probably have to be Activision or somebody big, Ubisoft, somebody, for them to get the Star Wars license. But they are literally cash cows. And I would also argue that part of the problem isn't EA just treating it like a cash cow. Disney wants maximum money out of this IP. When they license that, it's extremely expensive. So EA's decision to try to make as much money as possible, whether that be microtransactions or other bad ideas, a lot of that pressure is just from straight up having to pay for the use of Star Wars. So I don't envy any of that. And I don't know how any other companies will do much different. So I think it's easy to put a rope around EA's neck on this, but I'm not sure they deserve it when it comes to Star Wars.
I mean, well, there are people who would say the same about Disney and getting their hands on the Star Wars license too. I'm not rendering an opinion either way, but EA might just be fulfilling their contract and have been done with them for a decade now, and just they have to make those games and they do it, and who knows what that relationship's like, and who knows what the people at EA really want to work on, you know, like it's all up in the air. So I think my philosophy is this. I think it's still true. There was a time when it was true that like commercially licensed games were just worse than games built from the ground up. Yeah. And there are exceptions, but I think a lot of, you know, like we like TIE Fighter, but like we have a nostalgic memory for it. And there's no promise that they're going to capture that with any Star Wars thing again, ever in the future. So I don't know. I don't put a lot of hope that a licensed game will ever be good, or any hope that the support will be good, or in the long term it will be good, because it's a secondary tier product on their food chain, right? Like Star Wars movies is like our number one, and whatever merchandising that they have control over is number two. And then their partnerships are like third or fourth tier in terms of priority on quality of content, just corporately. Mm-hmm. Just makes sense. Right. And you know, you see that reflected in a lot of products, a lot of creative things. And I just think in the gaming space, like we get the odd license thing that is incredible, but we don't have a license. I don't think we have a movie licensed or book licensed thing that has been longstanding and incredible. We get flashes of brilliance here and there with a great licensed IP game, but mostly the longstanding supported stuff are games first and are not commercially tied to a company that's going to, it's like having a kite and they just rip it around and like, we want to do this now. And the kite's just got to do what the guy holding the kite has to do, wants it to do.
No, that's
well, I also
point.
Think it'd be a little, it'd be hypocritical of me to criticize them for this when just earlier this year, last year, it's been so long I don't remember, Mortal Kombat came out and I was criticizing it that the way they had designed it was they had put this like elongated tail on the game. And while I had loved the game and I really liked that story and I really liked the ideas behind the crypt, but they wanted you to just keep playing and playing and playing and playing ongoing over a period of time. And I said then on this show, not every game has to be a service game. I kind of sometimes just want a game to come out and this is the content and enjoy it for the window that it's popular and it's going to go, and then move on with your life and play something else.
Yeah.
Or if you love it so much, you can stick with it. And it, I'll tell you, if enough people did that, and if enough people do that with Star Wars Squadrons, it'll, somebody will come back and make some support for that game. Mm-hmm. We live in a world where Among Us 2 got canceled because so many people were playing Among Us 1. Like, if that's where the eyeballs are, if AOC was friggin' saying, let's squad up in Star Wars Squadrons and shoot some people, guess what? That game might see some additional support. And I'm not saying it's not popular enough to justify it, but like, hey, let's take a couple steps before we start jogging down the path here. I've also heard that Disney is pretty hard to work with. Like, the Battlefront people said that they were very restricted on what they could do as, in regards to skins and what they could do as far as like lightsaber colors and things like that. And they wanted to put all this customization in there, and Disney said no.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they're stringent on it. Like, it's that's part of the reason those three movies are so benign. They're just so careful and by the numbers, ultimately. In retrospect, they really are. Like, outside of the shroud of nostalgia and all the sound and the music and the excitement and everything else, these last three Star Wars movies just don't have a lot of teeth. And it's okay. You can still like them. I like them. I like them as a thing that exists. But I don't like them like I like Mandalorian, because Mandalorian takes weird risks. Like, it's a different kind of approach, and I don't know why they're getting away with it. And the movies felt so restrained. But it's a hard property for anybody to feel like they can just be free and open with and do interesting and weird things. They just don't have the option. The most exciting Star Wars game in development was canceled. I wanted that. What was it called? It had a number in it, and it was all about like sort of a seedy underworld.
Star Wars Fury Road.
Yeah. What was it? 1313 or something 13, like that.
Yeah. And it was all like, you know, the dirty underbelly and all the organized crime and all that. Like, that sounded so interesting to me. And they freaking canned it. Probably because, well, I don't know that this adheres to our vision of Star Wars as a family. Like, F off. Just make a game that's good. And I'm sure that stuff gets faced every day by these licensees. So.
By the way, this conversation triggered a really horrifying thought, by the way. Uh-oh. All of the conversation today, but this one in particular connected to the last one.
Okay.
Because we're talking about companies that are just here to make money and blah, 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 and all that. We were talking about AOC playing Squadrons.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit. There's going to be an AOC skin pack. Because, like, if AOC played Squadrons, they could make a Jedi AOC, right? And really get in bed with the politician. And,
they won't, you know, though, because it's too partisan. Like, they're
today it's too partisan. We're early. Yeah. Everyone going like, it'll never happen, is stupid. It's like, talk to me in 10 or 20 years when everyone's online. Like, it, you know, like, I don't think it's ridiculous. I think it's just inevitable.
Mm. No, like, I actually agree. I mean, we are in a world, again, not to take it back to Biden Island, but we get like campaign signs in Animal Crossing for him. Now, it wasn't something that Nintendo said, here's our officially sponsored Biden signs for your island, but you could get those things. We are
a stone's throw away from those future. But you can make anything.
I totally see someone doing
the flag. The flag in my town is Nicolas Cage making a face. Like,
no, and I agree with you. I'm just saying, we're halfway there.
Yeah.
It's not that hard to see somebody going, we're going to take the rest of the steps. The money, the attention, the support, and the news it's going to generate, we're going to take those next couple of steps.
Probably true. I think you're probably right. I mean, that's what they do with every other form of media. Why not video games? It's time.
Yeah.
And I know, don't send me your emails going, there's been advertising in games since I remember playing Burnout Paradise, and there were giant billboards for dildos or whatever. I don't know what they were.
Yep. I remember those too.
Whatever it was. I don't remember they were advertising, but I remember it pissed a lot of people off. So, gaming.
You're listening to Crash FM. Crash through all the dildo billboards to earn a big boost.
He's not in there anymore. It's some lady now. It bugs me. I like ladies, but I thought he's DJ.
Still in there. No. Sometimes he's not always in there.
Yeah, but remember, he used to be everything in there. Now he's not. He's like little bits. But even the opener used to be him going, I'm DJ Atomicon or Tomachon or Tron or whatever. And here's this game with stuff to do in it. And then he'd show you the whole tutorial opener. Now it's a lady going, hey there, driver. I'm a lady who's not that guy. Let's go do stuff.
I think Scott should do the voice now. It's pretty good.
I'm a lady. I'm a lady. Go do the thing. Trust me, because I'm a lady.
Not that guy. All right. You guys want to hear a mashup? We got to play it.
Jamie
sent this. It's great. Here it is. It's a bonus mashup. Not really a bonus. It's just a weekly mashup, and it's called a core mashup Botox, but spelled with your name. Botox. Oh, all right.
That's great.
Here we go. Enjoy.
Great. I think Scott's inviting me to go hard and to go in.
Okay, so here's my quick take to go hard. Okay. This is about penises and whether mine is truly a micro or a macro penis. I forgot her name. Shoot, it'll come to me. It's like Debbie, but it's not. Ruby, Libby,
Brittany.
Flabby, Brittany, Flabby, Brittany. That's
Stella.
It. Stella, that's it. So Imperialis Cerulius, or whatever the hell it's called. That's not it.
No,
Universalis.
Universalis.
Universalis Europenis. Yeah.
That's the one. You got it.
Something like that. Let me tell you a story I heard one time about a rock and three bugs. Or someone in our chat room this morning called it semi-truck, which that's not right.
The semi-truck.
Yeah.
When your truck is only halfway there.
Yeah. It's a half boner.
Hello? Like, someone said half boner?
Half boner.
I was like, what's the tactful way Scott is going to continue this? And I like, you just leaned in.
Yeah, I went straight in.
Oh, no.
He's dead.
If I want a 3080 on trade, it's sexual favors for me. That's it. That's all really? I got. Really?
You get that much?
No. That's the only option I can resort to.
I mean, I traded sexual favors and all I got was
all I got was chlamydia. Got a GTX 240.
I got GeForce chlamydia. It was NVIDIA-branded chlamydia, so at least it was authentic.
Wow. Ouya sucked. Oh, okay. That thing sucks so bad, Bo, that it's still sucking. It's still sucking. You can hear
it's still
it.
Sucking as we speak. Okay.
You can hear it. It's going.
You know, if I was into plastic surgery,
yeah,
Botox shit. Yeah, would be Botox a great
shit.
Title.
Yeah, and then you could be on it, and you would be Bo talking shit, and it's Botox shit.
Yeah, we're talking straight about plastic surgery.
Spell it B E A U T O X.
Yeah.
Then you just talk like this. This week on Botox shit, we're going to talk about Botox and how your face doesn't move after you use it.
Hey everybody, I never look better than I do today.
I never. I like Neher.
And looking like us.
Neher is good instead of never.
Are you happy to see me? Or is
I'm
that
happy to
Botox
see you. I
website.
Have to say it out loud because I can no longer display emotion.
That's pretty good.
Those are great. I love them. Keep doing them, Jamie. What are you doing? Go make one now. What are you sitting here for? I guess we have to do
that's
show.
How he's so fast. You're driving him to work. I was like, what are you doing last week? Like, how many? He's like, I made a whole bunch. You guys are really bad at speaking.
Yeah, we are. But he's great at making those. So please more. We would take more.
Turns out there's plenty to mine when your show's about politics, blood, and masturbation.
Turns out those three things will get you where you want to go. Speaking of which, if you like this show, no matter what we're talking about, bloody pants, politics. We don't really do politics.
Hades. We did talk about Hades today. There was a video game here.
We talked about Hades, talked about World of Warcraft. And there wasn't a lot of video game news, but hey, Luna, available now. Go. No, it's not. You can't get it unless you're invited. Anyway, we want you to go to our website over there at patreon.com/core show. Patreon.com/core show. Support this show. Help us out. Keep the lights on. We appreciate your support. We have lots of ways to benefit you. If you do that, just go read about them at patreon.com/core show. We are at frogpants.com/core. And send us those emails. talktothecore@gmail.com. On Twitter, find us at Bo Schwartz for Bo. John is at John_Jagger. John with only an N, no H. Because who needs that extra letter when you just don't need it? Scott Johnson for me, all one word. And check us out on Wednesday nights. We do a show at 5 p.m. Mountain Time until about 7:30 or so, which is it is almost now. So come watch us live. That's Wednesdays, 5 p.m. Mountain, at frogpants.tv or twitch.tv/frogpants. Either one will get you there. All right, that's going to do it for me. For Bo, for John, we'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.